I can already tell. Good morning and welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. I love being here with you, and I hope that you are feeling welcome and a part of the family of God when you enter in these doors, because that's what you are. Amen. We're all part of the family of God. Thank you so much for being here today. We have some announcements. I think you've been seeing the announcements on the screen. This coming week, we have a trustee meeting, as well as our regular meetings of the prayer warriors and the youth group and the food bank, and our NA meetings, which are listed in your bulletin. And I need to announce a couple of things. One is we have newsletters ready for you. And I think they're ready for you at the beginning of the entry to the sanctuary is where you'll find these. Thanks to all who contributed to it. It's wonderful to have a newsletter, and we will, if you have articles for that, you have to turn them in by the 15th. And I think you all know that even better than I do. All right. We need to let everyone know that we are collecting school supplies for the children's home in Enterprise until August the 11th. I noticed there's some school supplies back there, but you have at least another week, right? Another week to bring in school supplies, and we'll take them to the children's home at Enterprise. Yes, you may.
I was in the Dollar Store, the new one that's on Kingsley Avenue, and they had an abundance of school supplies at a really good price, and a lot of it was name brand items. So as far as like glue, crayons and stuff like that, scissors. So I would check out the Dollar Store that's on Kingsley Avenue next to the railroad tracks. They had an abundance of items there.
All right. Are there any other announcements that should be shared with the family of God this morning that I might not have lifted up? We had several on the screen up there, so I know you can read that. So let us begin our worship of God by going to God in prayer. If you would join with me in the opening words, which are attached to your bulletin, and then join with me in the unison prayer. Even in the middle of summer, our hearts can be burdened.
Worry do not seem to take vacations.
But you have come to a special place where you can find relief and healing.
Thanks be to God for providing us with such blessings.
Come, prepare your heart to receive God's gracious gift of love.
We open our hearts and spirits to thanksgiving to God.
Let us pray together. Lord, we come to you this day in the midst of our summer months. For many, this is a time of relaxation. But for others, the burdens, worries, and cares continue to weigh them down. Be with each of us as we open our ears to hear your words, our hearts to feel your presence, and our spirits to receive your healing touch. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now would the children come to the front as we have our children's moment. Hi. Now I want to show you a picture that someone made about our Bible verse today. Our Bible verse is about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Have any of you ever heard of that one before? Have you heard of that story? Well, let me take a moment to show you this picture, and I want you to look real carefully and see if you can notice anything. This is Jesus right here in the middle. That's Jesus right there. And his disciples, I'll show it to you all too. Show it to you. Jesus is in the middle, and his disciples are wearing white robes. And I want you to tell me what it looks like, the people with the white robes. What are they doing? Can you see what they're doing in this picture? They're holding baskets, right? Does it look like people are taking anything out of the baskets? Oh, some people are reaching in the baskets. Some people are reaching inside the baskets. And there's food in there. That's right. If you look real carefully, all the disciples of Jesus, the ones wearing the white robes, are passing out baskets of food. And it looks like they're having a big picnic. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're having a big picnic. And I can imagine us having a similar kind of picnic. We have this big grassy area outside. Don't you think it would be fun to have a picnic out there? Wouldn't that be nice to have a picnic out there on the grass? And everybody could see what we were doing. Yes. Well, this is a miracle that Jesus did where he fed people with just a few little loaves of bread and a few little fish, but he passed it out and all these people in the crowd had food to eat. Now that is something special. And what Jesus said to his disciples when they came to him, and they said, well, what are we supposed to do? All these people are here and they're hungry. Why don't you tell them to go home? And Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. And he took the bread that he had, and he took the fish that he had, and he blessed, and he broke it, and he passed it out. And those small little things of fish and those small little things of bread fed all these people. How many people do you think are in this picture?
1,000.
Yeah. There's a lot of people in this picture. And everybody was, and you think it was more than 1,000? You think it was more than 1,000? It could very well be. That's a lot of people in that picture. Yeah. And I wonder if we could have something like that in our front yard one of these days. I think that would be really nice. And a way that we can feed hungry people. Jesus has told his disciples what they're supposed to do, and that is for us to feed hungry people. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. We thank you, O God, for your many gifts and blessings, and I pray your blessing upon these children and their families that may continue to grow in your grace and your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One piece of candy for everybody, right? One piece. One piece of candy. You might get the wrong one. Come on, let's get out, get your piece of candy. Because I'm going to take it. If you don't get it, I'm going to take it. There you go.
Oh,
ushers to come forward for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. We thank you, precious Lord, for your many and glorious gifts. We pray your blessing upon each gift and every giver, and we pray that they may be used for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
of you, Lord. I will have more love, more power, more of you, Lord. I will praise your name. I will praise your name. I will worship you.
When we come to the table of our Lord, one of the things that we do as a church is make a confession to God. We know we could never earn our place at God's table, and that's not the reason we come. But we do come with contrite hearts for the things that we have done or left undone that need to go before God in prayer. So I invite you to turn in your bulletins to the confession and pardon, which will be in unison. Let us make our confession to God. Gracious God, provider of all we need, we are often content to rely on our own devices, our creativity, our cleverness. We congratulate ourselves on our accomplishments, yet we find that these achievements and acquisitions do not fill the deep hunger inside us. We long for the spirit bread you alone can provide. Forgive us, merciful God. Help us to receive the blessings you offer, that we may be bread for the world, blessed, broken for all. Hear the good news. God's mercy is plentiful, and God's grace is abundant. Receive the bread of forgiveness and steadfast love. Amen. The scripture reading this morning comes from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. After several weeks reading the parables of the kingdom of heaven, this week's reading switches to a miracle story to describe the new life in the kingdom. We've been hearing about what it looks like, and now we get a first-hand example of what the kingdom of heaven is when Jesus performs this miracle of feeding the 5,000. And it's not just any miracle story, because this is in all four Gospels. We all know that the four Gospels are different. They don't have the same stories. They do things slightly differently. This is one of the few things that's in all four of the Gospels. So we know how important this story was to the early church, that all of the Gospels included this. But I need to give you a little bit of background on it. As you recall, when we left Jesus last week, he was teaching in parables and saying the kingdom of heaven is like, and we heard about the mustard seed and about the yeast, and we heard about the pearl and the treasure in the field. But verse 53 of chapter 13 says, when he had finished these parables, he left that place. And where he got to was his hometown in Nazareth. And there, when he was teaching in the synagogue, the people derided him, saying, he's just that carpenter's kid. Who the heck does he think he is? We know who he is, and he's nothing special. And they write him off for doing the things that are bringing him fame and acclaim in other places. He is rejected by his hometown people. And then chapter 14 opens, and we hear in flashback the story of the murder of John the Baptist at the hands of Herod Antipas. I don't know if you remember that story. It's a pretty gruesome story, so I'll warn you now in advance. John had been speaking out publicly about the immoral marriage of Herod and Herodias, his brother's wife. And there is a scene at a royal banquet where Salome, Herodias' daughter, was dancing for the birthday of her uncle and her stepfather, Herod. And he is so captivated by her dancing that in front of all of his guests, he promises to give her whatever she wants. And what does she do? You remember? She asks for the head of John the Baptist. Well, when one makes an oath, one should keep it, or your political opponents would have a heyday. And he feels he cannot back down from this. And he uses this as an excuse to kill John. And he absolves himself of all responsibility. Well, I made a promise. I can't go back on my promise. It's kind of a, I had to do it or my name is mud in this town. He had to be, as a strong leader, he felt he had to be the one to follow through on what he said he was going to do. But Matthew, the writer of Matthew, wants us to be shocked and appalled that an official of the realm acts for his own selfish purposes and not in the best interest of the whole empire. It's a political maneuver, plain and simple. And so the text begins today. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. John, of course, was his cousin. John had baptized Jesus and a prophet. And if they could kill him, well, Jesus decides to go away by himself, and his attempt at having some private grief is thwarted because the crowds just follow him to where he is. But on seeing the crowd, the scripture says that Jesus had compassion for them and healed their sick. Unlike Herod, who acted from political expediency, when we act in the brave new world of God's kingdom, we do not act out of self-interest or greed. We act out of compassion for real people with real needs. The rules are different in the world where Jesus lives. And that's what he was trying to tell us in the stories, the parables of the kingdom. A place where the motivation for our choices comes from a higher source than the individual. We think of others, we think of God, before we think of ourselves. Well, the disciples, they have plenty of compassion, but they can only see this as a problem. It's late, they say, people are hungry. The solution they come up with is that Jesus should just send them home. Send them home. The crowds are a problem. The proverbial wrench in the works. And so their solution is to just get rid of the crowd. Where they see a problem, however, Jesus sees an opportunity. And he tells them, you give them something to eat. Half the battle of mystery is noticing the opportunities that are in front of us and changing a problem into an opportunity. And you'll notice that he also did not say, oh, forget you, I'll do it myself, I don't need you, I can just perform this miracle, do it. Jesus told the disciples to do it. He wasn't going to do it for them. God does not work alone. He has entrusted us to be his hands and his feet, the hands and feet of Christ's body. I have this little needlework plaque in my office that I've kept ever since I was ordained. A friend of mine gave that to me many years ago. It looks a little scratched and beat up, but it always reminds me of what I think my main purpose is. Hands to work, hearts to God. Hands to work, hearts to God. A whole new way of being where the disciples are the means through which God's work is done. Not the miracle worker all by himself, because we know he could do that without any help whatsoever. In the brave new world of God's kingdom, power is shared and faith is expressed in concrete acts of love and justice and compassion. But the disciples are nothing if not stubborn. We don't have anything, they say, but these measly fish and bread. That's all we've got. The needs are too great and the resources too few. We've never heard that before. It can't be done, they think. But Jesus acts as if it is possible. He never entertains the notion that it's not possible. He commands them to bring the food to him, and he takes it and looks up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and started to pass it around. And all ate and were filled with much left over. There's no explanation for how this happened, just that it did. What we think is impossible, God makes possible. It is possible to feed hungry people. It is. The power of the Holy Spirit can do a great work when people join in unity and faithfulness to God's purposes for the world. The source of the feeding is God, but the resources are human and using whatever is close at hand. I have a dream for Orange Park. I have a dream that groups and individuals, including churches across all denominations, will come together and decide not to let a single man, woman, or child go hungry in our midst. Do you think that's possible? I have a dream for Calvary that we will partner with others from whatever walk of life or whatever denomination, who have the same dream and will make it happen. I have the faith to believe that God will honor use, and magnify our efforts. For nothing is impossible with God. Matthew shows us two different worlds, Jesus' world and Herod's world. Herod's, of course, is the way of expedience and self-interest. Jesus' world is the way of truth and compassion. We talked about that in Sunday school today. You know, but you may not absorb the fact that King Herod was a Jew. Did you know that? He was a Jew, just like Jesus. I say that not to make any comment at all about the Jewish people, but to make you think in these terms that two men from the same faith who are nevertheless living out of two entirely different worlds. Isn't it also true that today there are people who say they're a Christian and people who act like they're Christian? Who come from two different worlds but claim the same faith? So who is a Christian? If I can put it this way, how do we know a Jesus Christian from a Herod Christian? It's not about the specifics of what you believe, but it's about who you follow. You and I, this church, plan to follow Jesus, our Christ and Savior, right into the brave new world. Amen and amen. And we will continue to our service, page 9 in your hymn books. And I want you to think of communion in a different way now. I want you to think of communion as a symbol of the brave new world of Jesus, because it symbolizes our transformation. We come as forgiven people, and we get up whole new people. It's a whole new world out there. Let's begin on page 9 with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together the prayer he taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin against us.
Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Will you come to the table of the Lord? All has been prepared. The ushers will guide you. And if you need to be served in the pew, if you cannot make it up here, just indicate to one of the ushers and we will bring it to you. Will you come?
you'd all stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing, Lord, Reign in Me.
The bread of heaven and blessed by the presence and peace of God. Now go in the world to be the peace of Christ, to be bread for the world. Amen.
Random acts of kindness.